Exodus chapter 33 will be our text for today. Stories told that a group of preachers from another country visited the United States and wanted to see the sights. And their sponsor knew that they might get lost, so he gave them his phone number. And in less than an hour, sure enough, one of the preachers rang his phone and said, "I'm lost." And the sponsor replied, he said, "All right, walk to the closest intersection," he said, "and tell me the names of the street where you are, and I'll come get you." And a few minutes later, the visiting preacher reported, he said, "Brother," he says, "I am at the corner of walk and don't walk." Sometimes we get lost, and we have to learn to follow God's direction. I like one sermon I was looking through this week that made this point. He said, Moses, the great Old Testament leader of the Hebrews, in Exodus chapter 33 on one occasion, got alone with God, away from the rest of the Hebrews, to seek direction. He has witnessed some rather remarkable and visual demonstrations so far. A burning bush, a staff that became a snake, tree branches that cleansed polluted water, pillars of fire leading a crowd by night, pillars of fire, clouds leading them by day, manna, the heavenly bread falling each morning, and still he wanted that heavenly assurance. Am I going the right direction? We struggle with direction, as does Moses. We would love for God to put up a sign somewhere and says, "This is the way to go," or write it in the sky, "You're going the right way." Join me in Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. Moses prays, "You have told me, 'Lead this people up,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, if I have indeed found favor in your sight, please teach me your ways, and I will know you and find favor in your sight. Now consider that this nation is your people." There in verse 13, Moses says, "Teach me your ways." Your text may have interpreted it this way. Moses has asked God to guide me clearly along the way. Or another translation puts it this way, "Teach me your ways," or "Let me know thy ways." Perhaps maybe "Show me now thy way." Any way you parse it or to interpret it, it's the same word. And it just says, "I want to know, Lord, which way to go." At times, we are looking for the way to go. And at other times, we don't want to go the way that we are directed. It's two sides of a very human coin. We are at the same time confused and deaf, wanting assurance, but resisting the way we are given. Elizabeth Milford puts it this way, "God is dealing with our stubbornness." Have you ever argued with your GPS? Have you ever tried to say, "No, I don't want to go that way"? And the GPS in your car just doesn't change. It says, "Take a right here." I just sometimes can't stand that voice. And it says, "Turn right here, turn right here." And as I go past that intersection, it says, recalculating. And then it says, "Turn around." I'm in the middle of a freeway, and it's saying, "Turn around." And I think sometimes the response that I have is much like all of us have when we're trying to let God lead our lives. The system adjusts to the decision, good or bad, and tries to reroute to the point where we need to be. And God works like that. God gives us the ability to make our own decisions, but constantly recalculates and tries to show us, "You missed it there. We need to recalculate. You need to turn around here." Job 23 and verse 10, we read, "But the Lord knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I observe about directions from Exodus chapter 33 that having God's direction creates a distinction. Go with me in Exodus 33 and verse 16. Moses says, "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other peoples on the face of the earth?" you put this in perspective, following God, Moses led a band of uneducated, undisciplined, stubborn slaves on a journey over 40 years. As they walked with God, they were taught the ways of God. And if you think about what the Bible has become to so many societies and civilizations, those people became the foundation of spiritual worship, civic responsibility, and moral character as the people of God. And that same learning, that same direction, is now ours. We are to be the foundation of spiritual worship, civic responsibility, and moral character. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter pulls all of that Old Testament distinction over, and he says it this way. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Having God's direction creates a distinction. We are a specific people for a specific purpose in our time. Exodus goes on to tell us that knowing the destination gives direction a purpose. Knowing where you're going gives me a reason to get up every day. Up to this point, in Exodus 33, their route to this promised land had been one long detour. They crossed the Red Sea and took a hard right and headed for Sinai instead of going straight across over to the promised land. Frustrations lead to crises, resulting in mistakes being made. And from that point, they literally are going in circles for the next 40 years. But ultimately, all of this establishes authority. God. God is the authority. What will happen a generation later is something Moses and this people could never have appreciated before. Freedom. It's not just being released from slavery. It's how to be responsible. It's how to walk with God and make him the authority. The understanding of who controls what that leads to humility, wisdom, and peace. Many years later, as Moses delivers his final sermons, he says in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, he says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." At this point, I think in Deuteronomy, and I think for many of us as well, if we think about it, it's like looking in the rearview mirror of our lives and seeing how God has shown up performing his work. How God caused a bad situation to somehow work out for good. How we reflect on an unfolding series of happenings and know that those pieces could have only come together by the hand of a God and remark, "Well, only God could have done that." And while the path of our life's journey is not always a straight line, when we look back, we can detect the leading of God who still gets us to the destination that we desire. Let's leave here today with three takeaways. First of all, if you're looking for a sign from God, here it is. Follow me. That's the sign he gives. Follow me. Day in, day out, the Israelites got up, followed the cloud. And they didn't always like where they went, or how they got there, or what they were experiencing. But every day, they knew they needed to get up and follow God. That's your choice. That's you as well. Every day, you get up and follow God. I don't know where that takes you. I don't know what you will encounter. But I know when you lay your head on the pillow at night, that you can say, "I followed God today. And wherever that journey takes me, I know it's the right direction." It's not like road signs or billboards or skywriting. When we're walking with God, there are signs that we're going in the right direction. Let me give you three. Three signs that you're going in the right direction. First of all, we reflect his glory. If you go back to Exodus 33 and verse 18, then Moses said, please let me see your glory. When you're seeing the glory of God in everything around you, the heavens declare it, creation witnesses it, the church embodies it, Christians reflect it. The glory of God is all around you. And when you're seeing the glory of God in things, you know you're going in the right direction. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That transforming glory, if we're witnessing it and being a part of it, then we know we're going in the right direction. Secondly, we receive His goodness. In Exodus 33 and verse 19, it goes on to say, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. The word goodness in that text refers to the works of God's hands, the concrete experiences of what God has done, His catalog, if you will, of all of His blessings and working on our behalf. Psalm 27 and verse 13 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If we are receiving the goodness of God and recognize it as such, if we are seeing the glory of the Lord in everything around us, we know we're going in the right direction. We rejoice in His grace. And Exodus 33 and verse 19 goes on to say, and the Lord said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. How many times on their journey, as you look through Exodus and Numbers, how many times on their journey, or how many times on ours, for that matter, do we deserve justice? We went the wrong way. We said the wrong thing. We didn't do something we were supposed to do, and we deserve God's condemnation. We deserve the just punishment for that. We deserve the consequences that are ours because of our sin. But God instead, if you look, He grants us mercy and shows us favor. He doesn't wipe us off the face of the earth as He could. He doesn't condemn us to His hell, but through Jesus Christ, He forgives us. We, as His people, are the recipients of His grace. If we are reflecting His glory, receiving His goodness, and rejoicing in His grace, then understand that that's a day when you're following God and you're going in the right direction. So here's your sign from God. Follow me. And every day you're going to go where you need to go. The second takeaway is do as you're told. Do as you're told. Exodus 33 verses 21 through 23 says it this way. Here is a place near me, God says. You are to stand on the rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but my face you will not be seen. Do as you're told. Moses did. He did as he was instructed. He stood in the cleft of the rock, as we call it, the crevice, and God passed by. Moses didn't see God's face. He saw His back. And it's that way with many of us. We see where God has been. We follow after God and what He is doing to see what He's done. And only after wise reflection are we struck with what God has been doing all along. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Finally, not only do you need to follow God and do as you're told, but you need to be the fork in the road. I love Yogi Berra on this one. Yogi Berra said one time, he says, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. Whatever that meant. But Jim Elliot prayed, and I appreciate this. He said, Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to the decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. That's what I want. That's what I want for us. I want us to be the fork in the road. When people meet you, they have to make a decision about Jesus. Choose Him or don't choose Him. Follow Him, don't follow Him, but because we're the fork in the road, they have to come to that decision and they have to choose. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" Oh, don't we ask ourselves that? Am I sufficient for this? Can I follow God? Could I be a fork in the road for people? And I tell you, by the power and the presence of God among us, we are. Not by our strength, but by His. Not by our power, but by His. Not by our knowledge or our persuasiveness, but by God's. We are sufficient to be the fork in the road for people to make God the direction they follow. Don't we want to be guided? Don't we want to be taught God's ways, to know the path that we are to take, to be shown the right way? We are a people hungry for guidance, and we live among a people who are hungry for guidance. We long for direction. They long for direction. They're tired of going in circles. We are like wanderers in the desert, crying out to God, "Show me the way. Give me a sign. Just write it in the sky so I can see it." And God gives them us, His church. He gives them His word, the Bible. And between us, interestingly enough, God never gave Moses a message in the sky. He never put a billboard up in the desert. He didn't send him a fax, an email, or a letter. He did something better. God took the lead, and He directed people to the promised land. His people followed in His direction. May we be a people who walk in such faith. And let us lead others in the direction of God. And today we offer God's invitation. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, if you need to be repentant of your sins in your life as a Christian and ask for prayer, we ask that you come to the front and make that need known as together we stand and as we sing.